New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Don't you miss 2 years ago? What a time.
Shouldn't we just talk about, let's go to our memory jar and just talk about those games.
You know what? I got it right here. This is last year, which is kind of a bad year too. But you know what? We need any good news. So I'm going to go to the moment jar. We put a moment from every game.
A moment jar.
I bet you I pull out something that's going to make us happy.
Okay.
All right. That's not funny. November 20th at New Orleans. That's the season word.
Break the fucking jar.
Look at this. I have 80 billion moments in here. I dig around. I mix it up. I want to feel better. Oh, what kind of moment can we reflect on? Kings losing New Orleans. Yeah. They lost them 6 times last year.
I don't even know why we thought, like...
It's the most miserable time of the year. Can't defend the 3 ball.
Or make a 3-pointer.
We just suck.
It's the most miserable time of the year.
Not bad improv, Morgan. I got a little worried, you know, when I first went to you there.
I had to remember what you said. Yeah. And I forgot. December 1st. Happy holidays, everyone. Happy holidays!
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. The first day of December, a Sunday night, we're recording this, and the Kings got some good news today. DeMar DeRozan is back, and for the first time in his Kings career, after 162 games of coming off the bench, Malik Monk in the starting lineup. Ooh, could it be an intriguing spark for Sacramento? Oh boy, it was. 42 points in the opening quarter. Mm. Sacramento's offense was a popping 13 assists, just one turnover on 17 makes. They got by as many as 17 points against Victor and the Spurs. Oh, by the way, they won the points in the paint battle by 24. They won fast break points by 20, plus 11 on second chance points, and plus 22 of points off turnovers. What could go wrong? Well, the Spurs hit a season-high 23 threes, 50% from downtown. After they hit 22 against Sacramento in San Antonio, they capitalize again. 23 made threes, outscoring Sacramento 69-36 from downtown and beating the Kings 127-125. The Kings have lost 6 of 7 games. They are now 9-12 on the season. They are 4-7 on the home floor as they fall to San Antonio. Victor Wembanyama with a triple-double, a monster one at that. 34 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists, add in 3 blocks. And the Kings are in a world of hurt as the Houston Rockets, the Red Hot Rockets, come to town on Tuesday. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned all those categories. You score 125 points at home. You win all these categories, but the one you don't win is the fact that you only knock down 12 threes, 12 of 32, not a bad percentage, but they knock down 23 of 46.
It's a theme. I mean, it's a theme that we've already talked about 100 billion times. And it's like, if we're talking about it, they're obviously talking about it. And they're also implementing things to make certain adjustments, you would think, whether it's at practice or in game, because all these matchups have been tough when it comes to the three-point defense. But against the Spurs, you saw what they did the first time, and then what they do this time. Oh, and the Spurs have only made 20-plus threes twice this season. Two games. Yeah, can you guess which two games?
I'm going to guess. Okay. Hold on.
If you get this, you win $1 million.
I'm going to say the first one, Sacramento.
Okay. If you get the second one, you win $1 million.
Sacramento.
Woo! Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, my God.
Yep, season high tonight of 23 against the Sacramento Kings. And what was it, 22, the last game against the Kings? So I guess where my frustrations lie, and I'm sure so many others, not only do we see a three is like physically so deflating when you're watching a game as a fan or you're a player, whatever, but Deuce just mentioned it. All those categories that the Kings won in, and you look at all the good that they did, and it's that same theme that ultimately is what lost this game. And that is so deflating, disappointing, and I want to cry.
And that's what's frustrating, because there was some good in this game. But ultimately, the end result's a loss. And you had such a fun first quarter. I was really encouraged by what I saw offensively. The ball was popping. The shots were falling, but the Kings were getting great looks. And it just seemed like the extra pass was being made. They're playing quick offense. It does help when you hit 71% of your shots in the first quarter, but it just looked great, right? It wasn't like, oh, this is kind of fluky. They made 9 of 10 in the paint in that first quarter. And then the second quarter came, and it was ugly. The Kings could not get anything to drop. I mentioned the 9 of 10 points in the paint in that first quarter, okay? Mm-hmm. They were 6 of 15 in the paint in the second quarter. You go from 90% to 6 of 15 in the paint. And it's not like, oh, hey, man, Victor was just cleaning it up down there. That was tough. We're talking about a sequence where they had 4 opportunities at the rim and missed on, like, second chance, third chance, and nothing could drop. And that was, like, staggering for sure. But, like, the offense, can we really bitch about the offense today? Like, that you score 125 points, right? The main problem, and it has been the problem, is a three-point disparity. And the Spurs just getting fantastic looks from three. I understand Victor is just one of those players, a unicorn, that is really tough to guard.
Sure.
But late in this game, Morgan, close game, Kings getting the penalty in the fourth quarter early. We're talking like the 9:05 mark, they get in the penalty. And we're talking about cheapy fouls, some bad fouls in this game. Like, just undisciplined basketball. And the Spurs went, you know what we're going to do? We're going to spam one thing. We're going to go pick and roll with Wemby. You're going to switch and put a small guy on him, whether that's Keon Ellis, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox. And then we're just going to go to work and see what happens. And it happened time and time again, leading to good looks for the San Antonio Spurs. Morgan, make it make sense. Why on earth did they just concede the switch in those situations so easily?
I would honestly like to hear from the coaching staff and understand the why, because it didn't make sense. And where it doesn't make sense, when you see it break for so long in a game and you don't decide to make adjustments, like the Spurs made adjustments, but you don't adjust back, then you're going to find yourself in this problem. And what I didn't understand is the moments when I felt like they could have fought through. I understand Chris Paul is a veteran point guard wizard that can get Wemby on the slip, lob threat, all the things. But this is what I'm seeing. This Spurs team is making threes even when you're running out trying to contest some, or you're paying attention to Victor Wembanyama. So why didn't the Kings throw even like a hard double, or even just like a show your jersey, dig, hedge, whatever.
Get a better matchup. Get a better matchup. Scramble. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying is like
anything.
There's a couple of times where you had players like, okay, they were in no man's land, yes, where they're kind of in between sagging off the guy off the perimeter.
Yes.
And then not close enough to Victor, never bringing like a double team at all. And then you're no man's land. And then you have to recover on a 3-point attempt.
You are literally better off than in no man's land trying to make an impact like with the ball on a double or something, because they were making that three anyway.
Or if you're conceding, like, here's the thing. If you're like, hey, we're going to concede Victor scoring twos. Well, you didn't do that. You didn't allow him to do that because you brought the help, or you're in, like I said, no man's land.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's like, fine, concede the twos. If you're like, that's going to be the way, you're like, we got to slow him down. The only way we could do is conceding twos. Seems crazy. But San Antonio got so many good looks just off the switching, and then Sacramento having to help late, rotation's not where it needed to be. And it's just disappointing. I'm sorry. If Victor gets the ball on the switch, yeah, I am bringing. You need to read that. And right as that ball is getting him, bring a hard double and force him to make a decision. And I know he could bring the ball up, but that's why you have guards who've got active hands, poke at the ball, swipe down at the ball. And then if he passes, recover. That's the type of effort that has to be there. But just going, hey, we're going to allow Monk to deal with a 7-3 guy one-on-one.
In such a simple switch. Like, it's exactly, the Spurs were like, thank you so much every single time. They were like, oh my God, this is exactly what we wanted. And they got it every single time. And I see someone else in the chat saying like, we can't stay attached to shooters. But at the same time, everyone's a shooter against the Sacramento Kings. Everyone can shoot the basketball from beyond the arc against the Sacramento Kings. There's some sort of confidence that happens, right? And so I look at that and I go, how else can you adjust your three-point defense, your urgency defensively? Because you see guys like De'Aaron working their ass off, digging, being active, on ball. Keegan Murray, same thing. You know, like, there's some guys that have that ability to keep their jersey in front, and others that don't, and then someone's going to have to help them. Even from the help, there just needs to be a different type of physicality. And I know sometimes it feels like the refs are going to give everything to every other star player, Victor Wembanyama, treating him like he's been in the league for 20 years already. But like, at the same time, you got to just control what you can't control and keep playing your game.
Well, and I think this goes to the larger issue, okay? So I seeing them at this point in time just go, you know what, we're starting Malik Monk. I went, you know what? Yes. Let's get the ball moving. Let's get it popping. I felt like at times the Kings did get stagnant again tonight, and that pace didn't increase, but or at least stay steady like it was in the opening frame.
Can I tell you where I think that happened though? I think when the Kings really got into the penalties, yeah, and those fouls started, you're right, happening, Deuce, that's when the game started slowing down for the Kings. But go on.
But yeah, I think the one thing that you have to acknowledge when you do start someone like Malik Monk, this is what they're going to do. Like, not every team has a Victor. We know this, right? But I can tell you this. It seems like every other team has size at the wing spot, yep, and has legit size and athleticism everywhere. So what's going to happen late games, or if you somehow turned your season around and made the playoffs, like, they're going to hunt these type of mismatches because you do not have size at the positions you need to have size at. And you have to give something up in this regard. And because of how this roster's been constructed, this is what it is. And I can't tell you, I'm looking around the league, all I see is teams with more athleticism, yeah, and more size than Sacramento. So, like, you could even talk about having perfect contest. Great. Jay Crowder, another good example of this. Yeah, Jay Crowder's a smart guy. He's physical. But he's not the longest guy either. So we're talking about, if you're helping and trying to recover on these shooters who are just taller and bigger, they're open, they're gonna make shots.
They only need an inch. They only need, you know, it's like the ability of some of these shot makers in this league is incredible because of just like what they need. You know, they can elevate over somebody. They don't care if the hand's in their face. They practice with that. But sometimes what it feels like, and I think what you're saying as well, is that the Kings, because of their length and size, it's not because of their speed, but because of their length and size, it's 2 inches off of what, you know, right. of what a shooter would actually, it could help, I guess, irritate the shooter and really annoy them or be something in their face.
And that's the thing. If you're going to have these smaller guys, then you have to be aggressive. To be disruptive, you have to be aggressive. And that means flying everywhere, sending that double, recovering. I'm not saying it doesn't take a lot of energy. Yeah, it does, but that's part of the game. That's part of the game. And if you want to like find a way to salvage this thing, it's got to turn fast. And we could all spend time on like, hey, they need a trade. They need to get the roster bounce. Yeah, no shit. We've been saying that for a while. But the reality is, you have to deal with this coaching staff has to deal with the pieces that they have now. And so what do you do? Last year, you guys were getting shredded on dribble penetration. So now the philosophy is like, all right, we're playing off some guys to help because we don't have rim protection and we don't have a lot of size up front. Sabonis, even if he works hard defensively, he's not long. He's not going to be blocking a ton of shots. And then in situations where he's defending the pick and roll, he's out in the perimeter. Who are the help defenders? Could it be Keegan sometimes? Isaac Jones gave him a little something. But other times, you know, that help defender is an undersized guard. And all of a sudden, there's a four that's getting an easy dunk because they're not going to be bugged by a smaller player.
When you talk about this coaching staff needing to work with what they have, and you're so right, because it's not on them. They can't make trades in the middle of a game or before a game and say, okay, this will be the piece to tweak everything that we need. But that's why when they went into desperate mode and started Malik Monk for the first time since being in Sacramento tonight, I was like, hell yeah, I was all for it. And even Mike and Kyle were kind of making fun of me like, oh, come on. Like, where are you going to get the scoring off the bench? I'm like, no. Yeah,
you stagger you the guys. Lineups.
Exactly. That was my point. Like, and I was like, you guys are acting like you want them to make a trade before this game. Like, it's not going to happen. That's irrational thinking. So you got to have some sort of jolt, some sort of spike. And that to me is what led the Kings to play such great basketball in the beginning. How the defense got worse and worse, I could give credit to the San Antonio Spurs, absolutely, to their adjustments and having a vet like Chris Paul being able to work with whatever the hell is in front of him. But at the same time, for the Kings to not adjust back is where I'm like, that's where they lost it.
Yeah, it's really challenging when you're, you know, checking a 7-3 unicorn with a player who's, you know, between 6'2 and 6'4. I mean, it's already challenging enough as it is, but like, I conceding that and then like playing off shooters and then the balls rotating around. And I feel like the Spurs got some great second chance opportunities late in this game. I mean, that one missed free throw, that was a second chance. It turned into a three. You're just like, it's just mind numbing and it's frustrating because, you know, I think you get to a point when your team is struggling like Sacramento. And look, if they didn't beat Minnesota in that epic comeback that was so fun, they would be losers of 7 in a row at this point. Not that 6 of 7 is any better, but like, this is really spiraling out of control now.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how it gets fixed because you get the Rockets next, and this Rockets team is, what do you know? They got wings, they're long, they're athletic, they are one of the best defensive teams in the league. Like, that's everything that you don't like playing against. And then you got the Grizzlies after that who've won 6 in a row. It's just like, it's hard to see things turning around when you're in this type of funk. And I just, especially when you're a team that if you give up this many threes, and this is like a theme this year, giving up 15 plus threes tonight, 23, like you mentioned, and you can only muster 12.
You're just not going to win in this league.
You're not winning. We went over every category that they dominated tonight. They cooked them. Points in the paint, 52-28. The fast break points tonight, 24-4 Sacramento.
Spurs have one of the worst transition defenses in the league.
Yep. Second chance points, 18-7 in favor of Sacramento. The Spurs, 25 points were scored off the Spurs' 16 turnovers. You only turn the ball over 10 times. Like, you don't make threes. You don't defend the three. This is where we're at.
Every single game. Every single game. Yeah. And that's why I'm just, I'm in this place after a game like this. I mean, we heard a little bit of Malik Monk on our post game show.
Yeah.
And what he had to say after the game. And he's dropping an F bomb and he's dropping. And I'm like, I get every ounce of his frustrations. Like, when you're a team, and I think this team cares a lot about playing good basketball and about playing good basketball together, it's not like the uninspiring teams that we've seen in the past in Sacramento. You know, like, this is a team that like each other, that love basketball, that want to be out there. So when things aren't working, yeah.
I mean, they have the names on paper and they have the weapons on paper. I mean, again, tonight, Shocker Fox has a good game. It's a bonus. You know, DeRozan has 28 in his return, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. Sabonis, 25, 13, and 6. Only 2 turnovers. Monk, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Fox, 23 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. End up 9 of 23, and that's not efficient. But the point is, like, you got the offense tonight. The other team crushed you with threes. Here's what Malik Monk had to say about the Kings' three-point defense.
It seems like every team just shoots lights out against you. And I know there's an element of feeling unlucky to that, but when every team's doing it, it's probably a problem with you guys as well. When you're looking at the shots that teams are hitting against you, is it bad defense, you think, or is it just unlucky?
It can't be unlucky when they fucking wide open. Excuse my language. But, yeah, they just be wide open, man. Like I said, we just be having too many mental breakdowns. And I feel like we don't rotate enough when we need to. And, yeah, man, that's why we 9-12.
Yeah. And defense is so much about communication and fight.
Effort. Yeah, that fight, yes.
And, you know, if you're not making that extra, if you're not, when you're throwing a double team at someone, or if you're in a pick and roll situation, you got a hedge, you go, that's a hard hedge, and you got to recover. It can't be, oh, we're hedging. Oh, we're kind of recovering. Mm-mm. Because what's that do? You're just, okay, the hedge coming out to double on the ball handler. Great, great. If you're soft with that, and you're late to recover, it did nothing but allow the guard to get the ball to a 7-3 guy easier, or to find someone in the corner easier.
The Kings aren't always playing, you know, a 7-3 guy.
Sure.
That is out there and has the skill set of Victor Wembanyama, obviously. But you're exactly right. There is always someone that is collapsing the defense, that the defense has to pay so much attention to, that the guy in the corner is getting a shot. The guy at the wing is getting his shot. The guy is taking a deep three over there and is feeling confident because he's like, shit, we can all shoot against the Sacramento Kings. And you can take away some of that confidence, even if you don't have the best defense, you can take away some of that confidence with, like Deuce is saying, talking it up, being physical with guys. Sure, let them flop. Let them do the shit that they need to do. But you got to remember, control what you can control. Keep remaining physical while trying to be disciplined, playing with your chest.
Do you want to hear from Domantas Sabonis after this one? I'm curious what he has to say.
Yeah.
You know, we just let the game go again. I feel like we had control, and it keeps happening. We might play a quarter or two good, and then we kind of start not our game plan. We kind of stop doing it fully, and then it kind of catches on, and it gets the team going.
What did you see from the perimeter tonight? They obviously the 23.
I just saw that they were 50% from three, you know, so obviously that's tough when we're not making as many threes either.
Domas, what did you see on that last play when Wembanyama on the free throw attempt came over your back?
I didn't even realize, you know, I was just trying.
I saw, you know what he saw? He got in a headlock by Wembanyama and the officials didn't call it. Not why they lost, but he was in a headlock.
Do my job there, yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
like with some of that perimeter defense stuff? How much of it do you feel like had to do with pick and roll and communication there?
Yeah, it was a communication. Our plan was to switch 1-5, you know, and we did a great job in the first quarter, and then we kind of went away from it as the game went on.
You couldn't Malik in that starting group tonight. How do you feel like he made an impact there?
It was great. You know, I mean, that first quarter was a lot of fun. Everyone saw the ball was moving, guys were getting involved, so I think it was great for us.
You obviously, I mean, it's like any other game. You kind of take a beating, hit in the face, your arm. Or just, yeah. How are you feeling physically after that one?
Good. It's a bit sore, but it's fine. Usually.
And then just when you saw things that Mike had called out, hustle plays in Portland, you feel like you guys cleaned some of that up tonight?
Yeah, I felt like today overall was better. Just our game plan, like I said, we kind of went away from it, which let them to get hot. And then it's hard to stop a team when they're rolling.
And then with Isaac obviously providing a spark, how people don't know just how rare is that from a guy?
It's awesome. You know, he stays ready. He comes in, shoots every night. And he's a guy who, if you give him minutes, you know, can do really big things.
Do you guys get the feeling that sometimes that these teams, when they come in, they got the scouting report on y'all when it comes to shooting threes? Because the Spurs, I think they were shooting 35% in three-point territory before they came to this game. Tonight they shot 50.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, I don't know, you know, if we had the answer, you know, I wish I had it, you know, so we can drop that number. But, yeah, in the second half, I feel like they made more. First half, they missed, and then that was our fault. You know, our defensive assignments weren't as tight as they were, and the ball kept spraying.
How difficult is it to defend Wembanyama, and just what do you see from him and as he gets better and grows in the league?
Very talented, you know. He's shooting the ball better and better, and that's what makes it tough.
What do you think of the late game execution down the stretch?
I think we did good, you know, but at that time, you know, we're trying to give everything we have, and it didn't go our way.
So there's Domantas Sabonis after that one.
The game plan got away from them, and that was obviously mostly defensively, and I'm not even talking about on all the threes. I'm mostly just talking about the switching. What?
I just like I'm looking at like, all right, so they started the fourth quarter. By the way, they were 97-92 going into the fourth quarter, right? So they're up five. They start with Fox, Colby, Jay Crowder, Keegan Murray, and Isaac Jones. By the time they make substitutions, it's a 2-point game. It's Monk, Ellis, DeMar, Isaac, Sabonis. They go back to the starters of Fox, Monk, DeMar, Keegan, Sabonis, and they're down 4 with the 7-11 to go. Yeah, I mean, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that there are defensive breakdowns when you're playing Colby, who hasn't really played this year, Jay Crowder, who's new, and Isaac Jones, who's still getting used to things. Like and then they got into the penalty early. I mean, that's the type of thing that's just so frustrating.
And you say that and see that there, but this has also been a theme that's happened in so many other games. Even when bodies were more healthy, even though health has been an issue with trying to find that continuity, and it's not an excuse. It's just an analysis looking at it and everything that's going on. So
I just don't get how, like, okay. And this is another theme of this year. When things get away from them, it just completely gets away. And that's why I said after last game, on post game and on the podcast, I'm like, that's just not a good team. Like, because good teams, here's what bad teams do. They hang around for a half. I mean, we all watch NBA on a regular basis. You see bad teams with leads going into a fourth quarter. It comes down to what is going to happen down the stretch. Are you executing? Tonight, we're talking about executing a defensive game plan that obviously there was breakdowns galore. Well, why is that happening when you have veterans on your team? Like, when you have guys, it's not chock full of young players. We're not talking about, oh, the Kings have three rookies late in the game, a young team trying to figure it out. It's like, you've got guys who have either played together for a long time or players who've been in the league for a long time. Like, get it together faster. Hey, three possessions in a row. Why are we giving up the switch easy? Or why are we sagging off this shooter? Why are we not hedging harder on this? Like, is this stuff not brought up? And if it's not changing, like, these guys got to wake up.
Well, and even last year, it felt like the fundamentals of a closeout was being actually taught
right
at practice. And I just think about some of these fundamentals being taught And I'm fine with that. I think there's some players in college that don't, or even in AAU growing up, like they don't learn certain things. Like you have someone in Mike Brown who has these standards where obviously you saw that first year where it was almost like, don't screw up, better shoot the ball instead of hesitate or you're going to sit out. Like just these high standards that people were meeting. And so for it to fall last year was okay, that's going to happen. But to see it drop the way that it has this year, and then to have to now probably go over these fundamentals of of switching defensively, yeah, and how you do it with like we're kind of saying, like showing your jersey with a harder hedge. Maybe you don't switch. Like, I don't know. I don't know the answer at this level in the NBA, what you're supposed to do in those situations exactly.
Well, you got to clean up fast. And this is what it is. I think from a good perspective, as you're trying to figure, I know it's crazy to even say this, is like, okay, he said tonight after the game, Mike Brown said tonight after the game, Malik Monk is starting going forward. Okay. I think that gives the Kings a better chance offensively to get off to better starts and keep the ball moving and attacking and getting in the paint. Guys ultimately still have to knock down shots. Mm-hmm. They knocked down 12 of 32 from downtown in this game. Still, you know, you'd like those attempts to be higher. So I think that's a good thing. I think they have found something with Isaac Jones here where you're like, okay, this guy just needs to play. Like,
he'll run the floor.
That stretch, was that in the second quarter or the third quarter? Third quarter, he had that awesome putback jam where he flew out of nowhere when DeMar DeRozan had that shot that was missed, and he flies in. Then the next play down, I think it was on the break, DeMar with a beautiful pass. He's running the floor hard, dunking the ball. He gives them something that they just lack. And I think it's so eye-popping to most of us because it's like, oh my God, someone who's 6'8 with a 7'3 wingspan who's athletic and long? Oh my God. Like, you just don't have that on the roster.
And it's all around the NBA.
Yeah. So I think they found something with him that you go, this guy could be helpful. Tonight, he ends up with 12 points, 4 rebounds, a couple of offensive rebounds, 5 of 7 shooting, and he played almost 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraged by him.
Same.
But it's also like, dude, he's on a two-way contract, and he's a rookie. It's going to be up and down. He's going to have issues, you know, where he's in the wrong spot, or he's going to foul. He's learning player tendencies.
You're seeing even. Yeah, and he's understanding. He had 5 fouls
tonight.
So
it's like counting on it is like, okay, that's tough. Yep. But I liked his aggressiveness, and he's the type of player that can spark you with just his energy and life. I thought Keon had a rough night tonight, you know, with the fouls. I mean,
the
end of the third's just a killer. I mean,
it was
turnover, bad foul out of frustration.
Uh-huh, and then turnover. It was, yeah. I mean, it was like one of the worst things that could have happened.
And that's, you got to stay locked in, okay? The turnover, fine, but you can't foul right then.
And then with 0.9 left on the game clock, put Victor in. And
got a great look,
almost
by the way.
Almost made it. Deep-ass three. Yeah. And I'm just like, guys, what do we... And didn't someone else made a three at the end of before the half, I think? It was like from the half court line.
It was Trey Jones, right? Yeah. It was at the end of the... That was, yeah.
Anyway, my point is, even those moments are just so killer.
How many times have we said this year? Like at the end of quarter, there's always like a big three, you know, like it, and you're like, oh, it's all right. But it's like, well, you guess what? You lost by 2 today. So if, you know, if you're locked in at the end of a quarter, don't allow a team to get a good look. You never know. And everything matters in a game. Like we a lot of times we hyper focus on like a missed call late or a turnover late. It's like, no, like let's go back to the end of the third when you were up 7 or you're up. Yeah, it was 97-92 going into the fourth. With a chance for more, and then you turn the ball over and then you foul, and it was almost a disaster. And then like the some of the bad fouls, you know, early in the fourth, and you know, maybe the Spurs got the benefit a couple of times on some calls, but like you get in the penalty early. And no, it wasn't that the Spurs marched the free throw line from the 9-minute mark on. I think they ended up being 4 of 7 the rest of the game, but it completely alters your defense. And also, you know, by the way, Sabonis is out there playing with 5 fouls. So like, even if you want to be aggressive, you're trying to like not be aggressive because you don't want to foul out. Sabonis did foul out And then they challenged it. It was overturned. So he stayed in the game. But, you know, it's going to impact the way you defend because you don't want to put them at the line. In some respect, you're like, God, just shoot free throws. At least you're not making threes. Just frustrating. It's frustrating, you know, and it's, yeah. And I guess on the other good front, like, it was nice to see the offense finally get some scoring going because if you look at lately, they scored 106 against Portland, 115 against Minnesota, 109, 103, 88, 108. I mean, this is the most points they have scored in a game since the overtime loss to Minnesota.
Shots were falling, but on top of that, they were playing with pace. They were playing fast, even with DeMar out there. And then when I think there was like a time when Mike was making rotations and DeMar was out there even with Malik, and DeMar's looking for his. And I loved it because it never felt like anyone was doing something that they shouldn't have been doing for the most part, right? I know I saw like a couple threes from De'Aaron there at the end. I was like, oh, is it legs? Is it whatever? But at the same time, I was enjoying it. Keegan Murray, I know he only had 8 points, but like there's besides that dunk on Victor Wembanyama that
he got
I loved,
the step on him.
But yeah. But he had, then he got the ball the next play down, the next possession down. And he's like, he's done this a few times this year where he's like fumbling it with his ball handling and just like not being as quick and decisive and strong with what he wants to do in the paint. And I'm just like, bro, you just dunked on Victor effing Wembanyama. Two other shots I really liked of his that I want to see more of is when he goes up for that floater. When he just like recognizes like the defense is going to come up and it's like he doesn't feel like he needs to go into anybody. He's just like, okay, I'm just going to get a nice little floater, the finesse on a shot, boom.
He had one over Victor too, that floater. And then he had a really nice baseline attack with a good finish. I'm like, yes, Keegan. Like,
again, it's just the things that we saw well with this offense tonight. It's so encouraging. But that's only part of a basketball game.
Yeah, he had 32 assists tonight.
Yeah.
32 assists and 10 turnovers should be you win a game on your home floor, but you lose because of the three-point shot. And so that's where it's at right now. And now you got to figure it out fast. Okay?
Like, nothing's cursed. There's no curses or anything. Like, as much as I wish there was, it's... You see, you can play good basketball. Like you can, even with the roster that you have. There's good individuals. It's the construction of it and what you go up against in the NBA.
I don't think they can ever be a consistent consistent defensive team with the roster they have.
And that's fine.
It's just the reality because you're in situations too where like, okay, so. Let's just say you want to go bigger and you've got like, you want to start playing Keegan at the three with Isaac Jones and Sabonis. Okay. Well, you have to play De'Aaron Fox. Okay. Who's not, you know, playing?
Yeah.
DeMar? No, he's playing. Okay. So you're not playing Malik. It's just like the construction, you just put yourself in so many tough spots. And then it's like, oh, I can't play Keon either, even though you maybe want his defense out there. It's just, I don't envy this coaching staff and trying to maneuver and figure out like the combinations that can possibly work out there because it's problematic.
It is, but I felt like with what they had tonight, with having DeMar back and just finally putting Malik Monk in that starting lineup, Jay Crowder had two games under his belt. Like, and even, I don't know. I just felt like they're, could be something there going forward, but it just doesn't matter because it didn't translate into a W. So it's like, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
What am I even talking? Brr. Brr.
We haven't mentioned Harrison Barnes real fast. Shout out Harrison Barnes. Back at the building. First time back in Sacramento since the trade. Spent 6 seasons in Sacramento. Played every game the final 2 years. He didn't miss a game. His final 2 years in Sacramento. I saw him before the game and I was like, okay, Western Conference Player of the Week. And he's like, you could just tell it was a down week in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
But it was good to see him. And, you know, he's been able to find a way to contribute on the Spurs team. The Spurs are interesting. I know we were talking about before the season. I'm like, yeah, they're going to be one of those annoying teams. Like, maybe they're not going to be that good, but you could totally see them, you know, being a 500 team. And if they're not, they're still going to be annoying. Well, here they are at 11-9. And what a difference Chris Paul makes for this team, just in terms of organizing things and just knowing, like, hey, Victor, we're running the same play over and over again because
it's working.
They can't stop us. Mm-hmm. They can't. They don't have it. They're not going to stop us. And they did that over and over again. You know, last year they missed having a guy that just could organize them, get Victor in the right spots, get him the ball that's going to set him up for success, you know? And I thought they did a good job of that tonight. And, you know, I mean, Wembanyama witnessed a triple-double. I think this is his, like, third career triple-double. And he does it in Sacramento with 34, 14, 11. And just watching him, Morgan, like,
He's must watch. He's must watch, like, League Pass, if you have League Pass. You know what I mean? People just on League Pass are just going to look for a Victor Wembanyama game, and they're going to see a game like this tonight against the Sacramento Kings where they're like probably thinking, oh, the Kings aren't that bad. Oh, God. Victor with a triple-double. He just has this type of game that's incredible. That is so enjoyable to watch. I will say the one thing I don't want him to start doing, Deuce, I don't want him to become a flopper. I don't want
He already is.
I know.
It's fine. Just embrace the fact that we are in this stage with Victor where everybody
need to.
No, but this is where we go with stars in this league. Everybody likes Victor right now.
Yes.
2 years from now, we're all going to hate him because he's going to be unstoppable and he's going to get every single call. Uh-huh. He's going to flop. He flopped tonight. You're like, you're already difficult to defend as it is.
Yeah.
But it's just frightening to see a guy with guard skills who is like hitting 5 of 9 from three, and then, you know, the ultimate lob threat. Then he could hit turnaround jumpers on you. And it's like, good luck contesting. I felt bad for Isaac Jones tonight. Isaac Jones goes out with a good closeout on Victor, but like you can't close out on him like other guys. Normally when you're Isaac Jones and you're closing out, your hand is like by the ball, right? But with Victor, he hits like his elbow and you're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you close out on somebody like that. You're not going to deter the shot.
It was the same thing when Domas Sabonis took an elbow from Victor at the top of the key.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's just not, you're not going to see that happen much when that swing through, unless it's down low. You know, guys are battling. Like, that's what you see in bigs. But just, he just had just ripping the ball forward, and his elbow just goes directly, of course, into Domas's face.
At one point, Isaac Jones is going for a rebound, and he's, like, reaching up, like, battling Wembanyama, and he grabbed his arm. I don't think he was grabbing it intentionally to pull it out. I think he was trying to go for the ball, and it's like, this guy, Isaac Jones has a 7'3 wingspan. But Victor is just a certified freak.
Yep, he is. And just, I mean, it's not fun when the team you cover or root for is playing him. But at the same time, I guess enjoy witnessing the greatness as it is, especially.
No,
where it is.
I'm not. I'm over that. I'm sick of enjoying the greatness of other players who are from outside Sacramento coming to town. And like, I have been in the building when LeBron dropped 50 on Sacramento. I've been in the building when Dame dropped 50 in Sacramento.
Very cool.
I just like, no, it's yeah. You might want to, like, if I take a step back, maybe as I reflect on my career when like I'm like 87 years old and I'm 30s. Talking to some students like, hey, you remember LeBron? I saw him play.
I saw him drop 50.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that how you're going to talk?
Yeah.
To?
Why would I randomly change my voice like that?
I don't know.
I saw him play. I wonder how I'm going to talk when I'm old.
Well, G-Man has always sounded the same.
No, his voice definitely changes.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, he still sounds, like, perfectly amazing, so.
He does, but it's definitely changed.
I'm going to sound great.
No, you're going to be raspy. You're already kind of raspy.
Someone randomly asked me, they're like, oh, my gosh, I love your voice. Cigarette smoker? And I was like, what?
You've always had that cigarette smoking voice, for
money
sure.
Money can't buy your class. It's a Real Housewives song.
Oh,
money can't buy your class, my friends.
Can money buy us 3-point defense, huh?
It can, actually, because then you trade and pay for this person to
make threes. That's the one thing I like, and I see, I appreciate everybody in the chat right now. You basketball sickos, this is a massive audience after a loss on a Sunday night. We love you guys so much. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. And I'm glad you're here in our therapy session to talk about this. We're going to be on this journey together. I can't do it alone. I can't just be stuck with Morgan.
No, well, that, but also, aren't you going to therapy tomorrow? Like, are you going to talk to her about this?
You know. Well, you know, honestly, I have talked about things like I do in all seriousness. No, I've said this before, but I do. I kind of joked about it at the beginning of it tonight. Like, I'm in this. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't turn off games. I'm watching it, right? It's like a job, right? But, and when I say that, it's not a negative thing. This is not me complaining, by the way. Okay. I live and breathe this shit. Why? Because I love it. And so when I watch games, I'm logging every fucking lineup until the end of the game. I am noting things the whole way through. Tomorrow, I'm probably going to be watching 3-point defensive tape because I'm going to be like, what the hell is happening? Because I am obsessed with it. But when you're so in it, okay, and I'm born and raised in Sacramento, I'm not like, hey, dude, I'm impartial, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no. I'm critical but fair, but like, don't get this twisted. I want the Kings to win. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not rooting against the Kings. I'm not ever going, hey, it'd be good. Hey, more, it'd be good for the pod if they lost tonight. We could really like dive into the misery. Like,
always respect the game.
No. So I get so wrapped up with it that emotionally, I'm so in it. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the team. And it's not good for my mental health where I go to bed. So after this, I'll do the podcast stuff. And then I'm going to probably hop in our Discord and chat with some people. I might respond to some YouTube comments. And then I'll probably go on Reddit and read some of the comments. And I'll go on social media and like, man, okay, what's the vibe? Like, then I'll probably go watch post-game press conferences. It's not healthy. I'm not. It's, you know what? It's real healthy when they're doing well. But in these moments, yeah, it tests my mental health.
I feel like this was your therapy appointment then. So, yeah. Like, what would your therapist say to that? Like, hey, maybe you should find a way to, like, disconnect your emotional, but you can't.
Ball is life, therapist.
I bleed purple. It's basketball, though, man. It's so fun. It's and when you are,
you know what's fun too is trying to find solutions. All right, how did you fix this?
Well, I mean, finding solutions is fun when, like, for example, when I used to be in math class and couldn't find the answer because I was really bad at math, it's just frustrating. With basketball, I look at this and I feel like I'm given all these numbers in an equation, but the answer isn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, you have to find the answer somewhere else.
The other thing too that we always, you know, we never pretend like we know everything, okay? Because there's things about the games that I'm sure if a coach listened to us,
oh yeah,
or like even people who have experience playing are like, you idiots.
They don't hard hedge because if you did that, you'd get them on the slip.
Oh yeah, you want to bring a double? Have you done it? Yeah. You know, like I'm sure there's stuff I get wrong, but that's where I'm always like trying to find ways to like, I want to learn more. I know more about basketball now than I knew 2 weeks ago, and that's always my goal. It's like, I got to keep learning. And that's why I'm kind of obsessed with it. And it's probably not good for my mental health when I'm watching this Kings team do the same stuff over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's hard to disconnect. I'm sorry. I'm passionate about it. That's all there is to it. Just like all you basketball sickos in the chat are passionate about it. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. We got to figure out some more stuff. We got to talk. The Houston Rockets. Are you kidding me right now? If there's probably a team I have a crush on,
no.
Outside Sacramento. No, I'm not a fan of, but I appreciate them.
Because I just don't want to even appreciate them yet. Like, let's appreciate them after the game. After the game. Because I just can't even give them that love. And just seeing Dylan Brooks and because you're going to say the Houston Rockets, right?
Yeah. What would you do? Like, what would you give right now for the Kings to win, like, 5 of 6? Is there anything you'd sacrifice?
Yeah. Ice cream.
For how long?
If you told me I had to do that for a year, I could do it.
Okay, if the Kings win 5 of 6.
Oh, wait, 5 of 6 a month.
No. There's more at stake. You can go a month without ice cream. I know you can.
Because
it needs to go into the off season when, like, there's... How about this? If the Kings win 5 of 6, yeah, you don't get to have ice cream until the end of the season.
That's... So, do you realize ice cream is like a tool that helps me feel good in stressful times?
What do you want me to sacrifice? Tell me, because I'll do it. I'm not a coward like you. I want this. They got Houston, Memphis. Oh, they go at Memphis, at San Antonio again. Great.
Okay.
Home for Utah, home for the Lakers twice in a row. That is the next six. And then after that, Indiana. I'm going to go next seven. You cannot lose to Indiana. You can lose every game the rest of the season. You cannot lose to the Indiana Pacers. That is my game seven this year.
If I'm already talking about this, then it's going to be painful if they do. I don't like this at all.
If I am not getting a playoff series this year, Indiana, not losing to them.
All right, if the Kings win 5 of 6, I won't eat ice cream for how long?
Till the end of the season.
That's so fucked up. That's so.
And I won't have wine until the end of the season if they win 5 of 6.
Really?
Yeah. I want this.
Oh, good.
Win okay. 5 of 6, you fine. Would be above 500.
Okay,
again.
Fine.
There we go.
You heard it here.
All right. You guys think about what you would sacrifice for 5 of 6, okay?
You won't.
Let's think about that.
Yeah.
Also, we should mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurants in Sacramento, Morgan Reagan.
Thank God for Mother, because they are a place that will make you feel so good. I know so many listeners went to Mother all throughout November. There was a few that got some Thanksgiving orders as well. So if you haven't experience Mother yet, you can experience before a Kings game. You can experience just any day of the week. Make sure to check them out. It's Michelin bib rated food. Sacramento Kings fan, local, perfect spot to be in before a game too. Check out Mother in Sacramento.
You can see their full menu online at mothersacramento.com. They're 2319 K Street in Sacramento. Also presented tonight by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union.
We're still one
with Golden One. Yeah, scan that QR code because you can get some great financial information, or you can go to their website, goldenone.com. Morgan, why should people sign up at Golden One if they're Kings fans?
There's so many perks, and I just wish I knew about all these perks like early on in my life, because not only can you join for up to 50% off Kings home games, but you can get 15% off Kings store merch. Also, I had someone reach out, a listener reach out, being like, hi, I lurk, and I'm just like behind the scenes, whatever. But I became a Golden One Credit Union member, and the year that the Kings did make the playoffs, she had won playoff tickets and had the best experience of her life. So, I mean, obviously, you might not win that experience this year unless they make the playoffs, but there are so many great perks if you are a member.
Yeah, go online now, goldenone.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Maybe you're in the market for new windows on your home. You got some old, busted windows that aren't energy efficient.
Not cute.
You don't feel like they're locked. It's
you don't feel
cool.
like they're locked. I know.
Wait, they're like, if they're rattling in the wind, oh my God. Or getting new windows is a game changer. Saves you money on your energy bills. Makes your house look so gorgeous. And it's really easy to do. If you go to the Northwest Exterior Showroom, you can try out windows for yourself. It's a game changer.
Hell yes, it is. Love Northwest Exteriors, everything that they have, HVAC systems, all of the above.
So check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are simply the best.
Trust Northwest. New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all-new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
All right, Morgan. Simply the best player of the game tonight is
Victor Wembanyama with a triple double.
Victor Wembanyama triple double. Yes. 34 points, 14 rebounds, 11 assists on 11 of 17 shooting overall. He's 5 of 9 from downtown. He was also 7 of 9 at the free throw line. He did have 5 turnovers in this game, but had 3 blocks as well. Victor Wembanyama are simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors.
Good for him.
So, yeah, what was probably the most impressive thing about him tonight in your mind?
Most impressive? I just think every single time I see him with a quick three, I'm just like, wait, what? Like, how does your body even work like that? And I just think the gather, the shot, where he shoots from on the floor, but also where he shoots from with his release. The mechanics.
Yeah.
It's just so impressive when you see a 7'3" guy out there doing that.
I did forget to mention one stat of his because he the triple double, 34, 14, 11 in those 3 blocks. Also, 1 headlock in the game tonight, too. The one he had Sabonis.
He's allowed to do that. I don't know if you saw that in this category. It says 1 headlock per game for star player. Yeah. Yes. So it makes sense.
Damn. Spurs, talk about some great production off their bench tonight. Keldon Johnson, 17 points on 6 of 10 shooting. Who could forget Devin Vassell?
Oh.
21 points, 8 of 12 shooting, 5 of 8 from downtown. Chris Paul was 3 of 7 from distance. He had a double-double tonight. And then Julian Champagne, Kings killer. 19 points, 8 rebounds, a couple offense rebounds. He was 4 of 9 from downtown. So, yeah, just an absolute destruction from three-point land by the San Antonio Spurs for a second game in a row against Sacramento. And now the Kings trying to figure out, all right, what the hell do we do? So after last game against Portland, Mike Brown ripped his team to the media. I'm sure it was even worse in the locker room. I feel like they responded in some ways tonight, but not ultimately in the way that mattered most. And now you welcome in a Houston Rockets team, Morgan, that is one of the most impressive teams in the league right now. They have won 10 of 12 and 3 in a row, and they won tonight beating Oklahoma City in a tight ball game. They beat them, Morgan, 119 to 116, led in scoring by Fred VanVleet, who had 38 in this game.
Sure did.
Alperen Şengün continues to show why he's one of the best young bigs in this game. He had 20 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists. Jabari Smith Jr., 15 points, 14 rebounds, 3 blocks. Dylan Brooks, 16 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. So some impressive numbers there. They're also doing pretty well defensively because they have literally length and size everywhere. Tari Eason is having a really outstanding year. Thompson has been amazing in his second year. Right now, they rank defensive rating. I'm going to bring up the latest after tonight. Man, Ime Udoka, this guy.
I mean, you saw what he did to the Boston Celtics.
He has the Rockets as the second best defensive rating in the league right now.
Okay, cool. So you have a good defensive team, but you also have a team that has a certain type of spirit about them.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I think, like the style that they play with, just pure toughness. Like for anyone that just thinks Dylan Brooks is just a punk, he's a punk and it's contagious for the rest of the team. I feel like everyone has his back because he has theirs. Tonight he gets in a jump ball situation with the SGA and neither guy will let go of it. And they just are like the teams had to like come together and try to rip them apart. SGA is just kind of laughing while Dylan Brooks is just like, I'm going to kill anyone in front of me.
Yeah. Those two go back on the Canadian national team as well.
Yes.
I think you nailed it. The identity they have is they are physical. Mm-hmm. They're long. They're going to mix it up. And you got to be ready for that. Last year, Sacramento got trucked by the Houston Rockets. They're even better this year. And I just think their defensive versatility, their length, their ball pressure takes teams out of their comfort zone. And you have to be absolutely locked in again this game. I mean, even tonight, It was a tight one with Oklahoma City, but they held them to 44% shooting and 33% from downtown. Okay. They took them out of rhythm and they won this game tonight, despite the fact that they shot 41%. Mm-hmm. They knocked down 13 of 37 from three and they made 30 free throws, 30 of 39 from downtown. They had 26 second chance points in this game. They're relentless. And so this is a tough game. And it's obviously danger time for the Kings. We're all aware of this. They're sitting at 9-12, 4-7 at home. I can't get over the 4-7 at home. It's just a theme that we've seen the last 2 years where they're just not good at home and it's getting worse. And you've got Houston coming to town on Tuesday. That's a challenge. And then after that, you go at Memphis, a Grizzlies team that's won 6 in a row. They have found something with that squad as well. Then you go at San Antonio. You've seen them now. You know what they're about. Then you get the Lakers twice at home. Then a home for Indiana on the second night of a back-to-back after playing the Lakers. Then you get the Pistons and then at LA. So this schedule becomes absolutely brutal this month. And
it's already brutal. I mean, it's brutal no matter who you play at this point. And I don't mean that like even as a joke or it. It's brutal because even against a team like the Portland Trailblazers, who just are going to play hard when they are down guys, it doesn't feel like the Kings aren't playing hard enough. It just feels like their ability.
Portland, it didn't feel that way.
That I'll give you that. Yeah. Yes. I mean, and not playing hard enough, being mentally focused as well with all the turnovers that they had. But on a night like tonight, it's like not being able to close out a game. You know, we keep talking about themes, like that seems to be another thing. And bad teams don't close out games. And I just didn't think that we'd be talking about this team not being a good enough team, especially with the personalities, the type of talent that they do have on this roster. So you just hope that they figure out a way. That's where we're at.
It's funny. The chat on YouTube has an auto-generated like chat summary.
Okay.
And tonight says, viewers are struggling. Of course it went away. Oh, viewers are saying the Sacramento Kings are struggling and need to make improvements, such as getting a better coach and more defensive players. That's the chat summary tonight.
Oh, my God.
We also have some super chats. Ricardo donating. Appreciate that. Saying, hey, I just want to shout out my nephew, Mason, who was awesome performing at halftime with his dance crew, DPX.
Oh, go DPX. That's awesome.
I used to be on a dance crew, too, when I was younger.
No, you were not.
They used to do break dancing.
No, you were not.
Okay.
You said you were like a choir boy, right?
I'm versatile. I did break dancing. I was in the choir.
I know.
I was a child model at one point.
You don't.
Which one's a lie?
Hey, it's a new wacky game.
So stupid.
It's supposed to be two truths and a lie.
Yeah, whatever.
There's two lies in
who
there.
Who cares? Oleg donates $5. Thank you. With our roster, we expect the Kings to be 12-9, not 9-12. Ooh. God, I would take 12-9.
God. Okay.
Bad news, sour grapes. When I predicted the Kings would finish 6, I meant in the playoff seating, not in the draft order. Shaking my head. This is tough, Deuce. This is tough, Morgan. I'm sad. Hang in there, bad news, sour grapes.
Thanks for the donation.
And Kent and Cameron, thank you so much for becoming members.
Appreciate everyone.
Jacob also saying, win or lose, thanks for always streaming for us. Aww. Dude, Jacob, that means a lot. I'm glad you guys are here and still enjoying this. How long until this gets really messy?
I don't know that answer.
Yeah.
I don't know that answer.
December 15th is always like the big day, like in the NBA circles, because people are like, that's the first official day that you could trade contracts that were signed last year and maybe trades can, you know, happen. I mean, it just feels like this team needs something to balance the roster at this point. And it's just, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
What could it cost? And you have to weigh, like, is the cost worth it? There's just so many factors, but, you know.
You say, is the cost worth it? Isn't anything worth it?
No, I mean,
if
you.
It's better basketball?
I mean, sure. No, because all of a sudden, you know, the Nets are like, we need 2 unprotected first round picks for Cam Johnson. It's like, okay, but what
you're
going to
draft another guard? I mean, what are you going to do with those picks anyway? So,
well, okay.
And I don't
this
even
is
mean
irrational.
To say that's
you're being irrational right
am
now. Because,
I?
Yes, because is Cam Johnson elevating you to be a playoff team? And then you're mortgaging your future when what's the future? Like, to me, you have to be really, really cautious here, because if this team's not good and you're mortgaging the future for a team to like maybe get to the first round of the playoffs, it's not worth it. You have to, and I understand you have to think big picture here. You have to think years out, and mortgaging future picks to not take you to become a championship team. Like,
but dude, what scares-
we give the Suns shit. They went all in and have no picks, but at least like they've got Hall of Fame talent, yes, and feel like they can win. You don't feel that way right now,
no,
in Sacramento.
But what does scare me is when I do look at someone like De'Aaron Fox and the type of basketball that he's mostly been playing this season and him being in his prime. It just scares me being in a small market and having to face losing a player that is a star. That is a star like De'Aaron Fox. And I just don't like that feeling. And so that's why I'm like, yeah, mortgage it all.
No.
But not to the point where it was when it was like Rudy Gay and Rondo and like they were like, yeah, let's get the 8th seed just to make the playoffs. And it felt just, but they also didn't have enough assets on those rosters to make the moves that they needed to be a much better team.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what the move is. I see people go, it's like, oh, Cam Johnson, Dorian Finney-Smith, be like, get Valanciunas. And it's just like, I don't, like, at this point, it's so hard to go, okay, like, is it, what's that do? Right now, you're in a tough spot. You're at 9-12. You're behind Minnesota, who's 9-10. The Spurs are in the 10th spot. They're 11-9. From 10 on up, everyone's above 500. Everyone. The Spurs are the 10th seed at 11-9. And they are just, and the Lakers are 12-8 in the 6th spot. So, I don't know. It's, I guess when you're in this right now, it feels daunting and it feels like it's impossible. There's still a lot of season left, and you just hope that something could happen that can galvanize this team and get them going in a good direction. I personally thought the Minnesota game was a game that you felt like, all right, can you use this as fuel? You go into Portland, get a win, feel good. And it went away so fast. I feel like that Minnesota game could have been a turning point, and it's just not. And that's where you're just like, this team is currently constructed not good enough. Can we end on something good? Is there anything good that you want to end on in life? So what's the best thing that happened to you today?
Anything good happened to me today? I got to see my parents, and I love them, and they make me so happy.
That's cool. Like, what
is it like having parents?
Yeah, like when you have people that you can, like, yeah. What's that like having parents?
I am so sorry. I feel so bad for people that don't get to experience.
I do have parents.
No, good parents. I feel bad for people that don't get to experience. Like,
your parents are just good. They're not great though.
They're amazing. They're perfect. Oh, okay. They've always have pushed me, told me they're proud of me.
Yeah.
T.R. Reagan has a new book coming out that in January, and people, there's already listeners that are already getting it on Amazon Finds or whatever. It's like pre-ordered or whatever. So check her out, TR Reagan, on Amazon.com.
If you guys have any last minute questions in the chat, we'll get to them as well. I want to get to a couple of comments, but if you have any last minute questions, let us know. Fire away. Let's see. Jamar says the Kings need to inquire about Ingram again. Yeah, Brandon Ingram switched agencies. He's been out with the Pelicans, and I don't know, is he hurt or is it like, he's kind of dinged up and it's like, I don't want to play on a team that's 4-16, New Orleans. What the hell is New Orleans going to do? Zion's banged up. Brandon Ingram just switched to Clutch, so he's being represented by Rich Paul. And I know he's been a name tied to Sacramento before, but in my head, I'm like, well, what's the move there? One, he wants a long-term contract. Are you giving Brandon Ingram a long-term contract? And where would he fit with this team? Like, what are you giving up to get Brandon Ingram to make it work? And what would that look like? I imagine you still had Fox, DeRozan, and Brandon Ingram, Sabonis. That seems very, very clunky to me, and a lot of mouths to feed.
I mean, sure. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yes, but at the same time, just having a whole bunch of good players is better than not. I see so many people being like, you can't mortgage the future, Morgan, for just some fringe players. I understand, you guys, I'm usually too rational for everyone out there. Why can't I have a night where I'm just like, do what you gotta do. Don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I just am in that mood where I see people take risks, and I feel like in Sacramento, it is very, it's too difficult to take risks because we're triggered and traumatized by so many losing seasons that a risk could screw everything up, especially when you do have something there. I don't know the answer, but I think we all know that the answer isn't just staying put how whatever's happening right now.
JC says, Juice, say something nice about your parents for once.
Oh.
Here. My mom kept me alive.
Oh, that's good.
She kept me alive.
Put a roof. Or
huge
sometimes.
Win. I literally cannot say anything good about my dad.
Yeah. No.
Literally. Let's see. Looking at Mad Deuce and Mo makes my day. You guys are unbelievable.
What a dick.
Someone was asking about Isaac Jones or said something nice about Isaac Jones. Oh. Yeah, Isaac has been, I've been really impressed with him. It's one thing I've been riding on early, huh?
You love saying that.
I like that. You know, the other thing, I'm not right all the time, obviously, about 97% of the time. But
what are you going to say?
Dude, years ago, before the Kings signed Jaeger, I was like, you know, they should bring in someone like Ime Udoka. Like, this guy has been on Pop's staff. He knows the game. Hard-nosed player. Wow. Imagine if I would have hired him.
You would have?
If I was the GM.
Oh, you know? Got it. If you were the GM. Got it. Okay, get it on.
And look at what he's doing with Houston.
I know. He
nailed that one. Cameron says, what's a realistic move we see Monty making? Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, I don't know. We haven't really seen trades in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen it of any substance. The last few trade deadlines, you've seen Kessler Edwards acquired, and then last year's Robin Lopez and Cash. You know? So. Well, final thoughts. We appreciate you guys being here tonight. We're going to be live after every single game. We're going to be live again Tuesday night. Kings take on the Rockets. And we'll just navigate this together. And hopefully, this can get turned around. And if not, we're still going to be here.
I was going to say, we're here. Yeah. Maybe drinking a little bit more wine.
People want to know, can we get Beamless Night? Morgan?
It's a beamless night. As I lay sleepless, it's a beamless night. As I'm waiting for you, there's no victories when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky. And maybe I don't even need you. And maybe I don't want to see you. And maybe you're just nothing but a dream. Because it's a beamless night. As I lay here sleepless. It's a beamless night. As I'm waiting for you. There's no victory when you're not shining. And now my soul is as dark as the sky.
It's a shame, too, because if the Kings get going again, I've been in the lab creating a new song for Morgan to perform, and I just want to debut it so bad.
And you can't do it just after one win. I refuse.
Oh, I might for vibes. We got to finalize it, though.
Yeah, I have a lot more lyrics to write.
I can't even think what it is right now.
I can. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, yes. Yes. I thought of it.
Look how it brought you joy.
It did. Wow. And Brian says, the season just ended.
Oh, my God.
Yo, in the chest says, Juice, can we talk about your savior, Keon Ellis, making mistakes that cost the lead in the fourth? I'm going to just address this because I've seen you in the comments before. I don't know when I've ever called Keon Ellis the savior. I'm sorry that I complimented a guy who did some great things last year and this year, even defensively. And he's a young player who made mistakes tonight. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. He fouled too much and he's got to be better than that. But Keon Ellis is a really good young player. And yeah, my heart, I appreciate good stories. And a guy who went the JUCO route to Alabama to undrafted to a two-way contract, grinding in the G League and getting a guaranteed contract in the NBA, I am going to like that. I think he's a really good defensive player and a winning player that you would want on your team going forward.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a sucker for good stories. I'm a sucker for Isaac Jones' story, working out of high school, doing a 9-to-5 job at a warehouse, then going to a JUCO for, what, 3 years? Dropping 65 pounds, going to Idaho, then venturing to Washington State, getting an invite to a G League camp before the draft, playing well in scrimmages, then going, you can come to the combine. And what do you know? He ends up in Sacramento on a two-way deal, and now he's playing minutes off the bench. I'm a sucker for those stories. I love guys who put the work in. We should celebrate them more. So, yeah, if I sound like I'm worshiping, maybe I'm worshiping the story.
Okay.
Love you guys so much. But we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. Thank you so much for being here.
See ya.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.